שמע. שמסתנתן פרשס שלח לך. Jeremy Stanton Pashas, Kira.
Rabosai, Haftorah of Parshas Korach, from Shmuel Aleph, one of the easier ones to translate, and simple pshat, Baruch Hashem. A lot more to it, but very, very interesting. Start off with, most years Korach is Korach. I mean, there's some Haftorahs that, whatever reason, it's a different Shabbos. The only thing that can be different about Korach is that it can fall on Rosh Chodesh. That can happen. If Korach falls on Rosh Chodesh, by the way, it will be the 30th of Sivan. The 1st of Tammuz can never fall on the Shabbos. And since Rosh Chodesh Tammuz has always got 2 days to it, therefore, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, the 30th of Sivan, can be Shabbos Parshas Korach. It can also be Shabbos Parshas Chukas as well. But the point being is that can be on Shabbos. If it's on Shabbos, then we do the Haftorah's Rosh Chodesh. Whereas this week is as normal, Korach is during the week, in which case we do the Haftorah of Korach. Just one small little point going off on a tangent. I think I may have mentioned this before. The idea about the 1st of Tammuz never falling on Shabbos. It's impossible. I mean, there are two Rosh Chodeshim in the year that can't be Shabbos at all. And that's Sivan and Kislev. You never find Rosh Chodesh Sivan or Rosh Chodesh Kislev on Shabbos. It's impossible. Kislev can have 2 days or 1 day. Sivan always has 1 day, and neither of those two can ever be a Shabbos. As I said, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz can be a Shabbos, but only the first day, not the second day. This has a particular interest. There's a maaser that goes back something like almost 300 years, where the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was sitting at Shalashudas. Out of respect for the Baal Shem Tov, I say Shalashudas, not Surashlishis. And in the middle of Shalashudas, he says, the Ner Ma'arovi has just gone out. And so what's that? I didn't want to say clearly, maybe explain clearly after Shabbos what he meant. The Or HaChaim had been Nifta. The Or HaChaim, Ner Ma'arovi, I'm not sure exactly, but the Ner Ma'arovi did not live where the Baal Shem Tov lived. Baal Shem Tov living in the Ukraine, and the Or HaChaim lived somewhere far hotter, further south. And so they asked, Eretz Yisrael? Yeah, Eretz Yisrael, right? So they asked the Baal Shem Tov, why did you say that? He said, because there's a particular sod in the subject of Netilas Yodayim that only one person in the door knows at a time. Only one person. And I knew that he was the only person to know it. And it came into my mind just now during Surah Shlishis. So that means that obviously there's only one person in the world who knows it. So that told me what had happened. Right? That was Surah Shlishis. Where does Stanton add something to this story? Is that if you see in the Sforim, we'll tell you that the Yotzah to the Or HaChaim was the 15th of Tammuz. The 15th of Tammuz can't be a Shabbos. It can't, because the 1st of Tammuz can't be a Shabbos. Therefore, 2 weeks later, the 15th of Tammuz can't be a Shabbos. Something wrong with the story. No, it's not. the Baal Shem Tov was in the Ukraine. And besides, by Hasidim, Shalosh Rodes can go on into the night anyway. It can still be Shalosh Rodes for him, but it can be Nacht, or in Eretz Yisrael anyway, it would have been night earlier than it would be still in the Ukraine. So it's possible that the Or HaChaim was Nifta Motzei Shabbos on the 15th of Tammuz, whereby the Baal Shem Tov, it was still that year, it was the 14th of Tammuz, so therefore everybody's correct. And back to the subject. So, what's happening here? We have in the Sidra, we have a rebellion between Korach and his people against Moshe Rabbeinu. And various things Korach says to Moshe, and Moshe says to Korach, and here we have with Shmuel and the people. What happened with the people and Shmuel? The Torah gives us a mitzvah of having a king. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, then you can get yourself a king. It's allowed. It's not an immediate chiyuv. It wasn't a din that Moshe Rabbeinu had to appoint a king. Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not a king. Yehoshua was not a king. There were dinim, anybody who disobeys with a leader is chayev misa. But he wasn't a king with all the dinim that a king has. So there was no immediate hurry till they conquered Eretz Yisrael. Only once they conquered Eretz Yisrael was the idea to have a king. And believe it or not, they did not conquer Eretz Yisrael in the lifetime of Yehoshua. There was still a lot of Eretz Yisrael that was unconquered. The first perek in Sefer Shoftim tells us about areas which by mutual agreement was left in the hands of the Goyim. And stayed like that for hundreds of years. It wasn't until David HaMelech's time, 400 years later, that Eretz Yisrael was completely taken over. So in the time of Shaul, which was a generation earlier than David, the people were worried about the Ammonim who were attacking them, and they wanted to have a king, to have a king look after them. But this was very much of a secular idea. This was not an idea of Kedusha. It was secular, the idea of needing a king. And Shmuel HaNavi was very upset that they asked, because it showed a rejection of his leadership as a shofet. He was a Navi and he was a shofet, and in no way did he claim Malchus. There was no Malchus in Shmuel. As I said, a shofet and he was a Navi. He did the best he could. And we find that he didn't take a penny from the people. He travelled right round the country to help the people, to judge the people, do what he could do for the people. And he wouldn't take expenses from them. He didn't take a thing. He just did what he could do for the people himself. So therefore, when they said to him, you know, we're not very happy with what you're doing, we're not very happy with the way it's working, could we have a king, please? So, what happens when they ask Shmuel for a king? And the simple thing would be to tell them off. You give them Musa, they ask you for something, it's a ridiculous request. So therefore, tell the people off. But wait a minute, that's no ge'er v'dover. I'm not gay. You object to what I'm doing. I might be doing the perfectly the right thing, but if I defend myself, am I concerned about your welfare, or do I not like the insult to me? How do I show that if you make a request to me, and that I want to tell you that the request is a wrong request, you shouldn't be asking for this, it's not in your interest, how do I show that when I myself am no ge'er v'dover? I look no ge'er v'dover. Yeah? Lahavdil, you tell me in the middle of the drosha, do you mind stepping down so somebody else can speak instead? On one hand, it might be that I would genuinely feel that what I have to say is better than what that person has to say. It might be totally Hashem Shomayim, but how does that look to you? There's only one way I can show you that the request is a wrong request, and that is by saying yes. If I say, you want somebody else? Certainly, I'll step aside, let that person replace me. Then I'll step aside and watch and listen. And I want you to see, and you watch this person, and he speaks well, and he gives a good drosha, and you like him, you're very happy with it. And I say, see, you've got a very good man there. The person you chose instead of me is very, very good for you, can see. And he's going to stay with you. He'll be the person speaking to you. Every time I would speak, he speaks instead of me. That's what he's going to do. I'm basically going to retire. So you see that you have gained what you wanted, and I gave you what you wanted. There's no negius. Now I'm going to explain to you why it was wrong. Only once I've given in to you, and not only given in to you, but shown you that actually what you wanted was very good, only then can I tell you, now I'll explain to you why it was the wrong thing to ask for. But I can't do that unless I show I'm totally on your side to start with. So when the people came to Shmuel HaNovi and asked Shmuel HaNovi for a king, then instead of Shmuel HaNovi telling the people, no, ridiculous, he gave them to ask Hashem. Hashem said, don't worry, Shmuel, they're not rejecting you. Hashem says to Shmuel, they're rejecting me, Hashem said. So therefore, they're rejecting Hashem. Hashem says, give them what they want. Go and find them a king. Tell you what to do. Get them the king. Show them what the king can do. And then, only when they've got their king and they're satisfied with their king, then they'll be in a position of you to give them Musa that they've made the wrong choice. But only when they see how good it is. You're not going to do anything against him, and he will stay the king. And that's what happened. Shaul was a big tzaddik. Yes, he made mistakes, but he was a very big tzaddik. Very big tzaddik. And so Shmuel was found. He became the king. And then, well, the people had been worried about Nochosh Melech Ammoni. There was a man, the king of Ammon, on the other side of the Yarden. Ammon wasn't the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael. Moab and Ammon were on the other side. But this Nochosh Melech Ammoni came along, and he came to a place called Yovesh Gilad. And this is the beginning of the Perek, where the Haftorah starts. The beginning of that Perek, which we don't say, comes before the Haftorah, is where Nochosh comes to Yovesh Gilad with his army, and the people of Yovesh Gilad are terrified of him. And they say, please, make a bris with us. Make a bris with us, we'll serve you. We'll do whatever you say. So Nochosh Ammoni says, well, we'll start off with, I want every single person to come out to me and to take a knife and cut out his right eye. That will put you in the right frame of mind for showing that you're my servants. And everybody will see how much power I've got, because I've got such, literally, I've got such terror that people are afraid of me. They'll do exactly what I say, and I'll be such a big hero. So in other words, you don't want me to kill you? I want every single one of you to come and gouge his right eye out. You do that, and then I'll leave you alive. So what are the poor people meant to do? So what do? They go to him. At that time, Shaul HaMelech had just been appointed, but nobody knew about him. The Goyim didn't know about him yet. So they went to they said to Nochosh Ammoni, they said, look, if we give in without a fight, it won't look too good for you. You'll just look like a big bully. All your friends will think, hey, what a bully he is. That's nothing. But if we manage to get an army together and you beat our army, then you'll show you're a big hero. That will be good for you, and it's in your interest, they said to him. He said, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, you go and find a Jewish army. Where's the Jewish army anywhere? So they sent a message to Shaul HaMelech, and Shaul HaMelech was looking after his cattle, doing what he was doing in the field at the time, because Shaul HaMelech himself didn't feel that there was much he could do as a king. He was a very honest, humble person. Anyway, so when Shaul saw what the problem was, Ruach Hashem came over him, he took his oxen, he cut the oxen up into pieces, sent a piece right round Eretz Yisrael, different pieces around, telling everyone, come and help fight against this Nochosh Ammoni. So literally, the people came, 300,000 men came in an army to Shaul HaMelech, and then he got them together. He told the messengers of Yovesh Gilad, go back there and say, by tomorrow, midday, yeah, by the time the sun is hot, you will be saved. Took his army there, and then the army came, and they literally smashed Nochosh Ammoni and his army to pieces. And that was now the first time that Shaul as a melech showed the power he had, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on the side of the Jewish king and the Jewish army. They've got a very good king. A very good king. Literally, they could see that the man they've got is a tzaddik, is a Talmud Chacham, is an Onov, and is a brilliant leader. This is exactly what they asked for. They've got exactly what they wanted. They've got exactly what they needed. And now Shmuel HaNovi can tell them that what they've done is wrong. Because they see he's not, it's not a personal thing. He has given them what they wanted. That way he can now tell them, as I said, you get a father who his child asks for too many sweets, and the father says, I'll give you the sweets. You want the sweets? Here are the sweets. One by one, enjoy the sweets. The child has a tummy ache later. Well, I've got a tummy ache because you had too many sweets. But you gave them to me. Because, he says, if I hadn't given them to you, what would have happened? You'd just been crying and screaming that I'd never give you any sweets. This way you know I give you what you want, but you will see later that it's not going to work. Right? So, what happens now is that there were people who had objected to Shaul being king at all, and they'd been very rude, murdered him against him, and the question was whether they should be, he wanted to kill those people who had been rude against Shaul, but Shaul said, no, lo yumas Yisrael ma'azeh. Nobody's going to be killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done a chore for Yisrael, and therefore we're not going to kill anyone. And believe it or not, Chazal criticized Shaul for that. As a strong leader, he should have had those people executed, the people who have been rude to him. But he didn't. Anyway, so Shmuel says, and this is where the Haftarah starts. And Shmuel comes to the people and says to the people, let's go to Gilgal. And Chadish Shoma Melucha. We'll go to Gilgal and we will renew the kingdom. Why Gilgal? What was Gilgal? Gilgal was the place that the Mishkan under Yehoshua had settled for 14 years when Yehoshua was conquering with a part of the land that he had conquered. In those 14 years, that's where the Mishkan was. It's the first place of the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael. So now, Shmuel says, we'll go back to there and we'll start off all over again. So they all went to Gilgal, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Tesvov, and they crowned him as the king before Hashem, and they made korbanos there. Everybody was very, very happy. Everybody was happy. So now, they've succeeded, we've got literally to a peak. They've got to a stage where they're all happy, and they're all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing wrong you could think of. And now, Vayomer Shmuel HaKol Yisrael, Shmuel says, Hinei Shomati B'Kolchem, I listened to you, I did what you said. L'chol asher amartem li, I did everything you told me to do. V'amlich aleichem melech, I gave you a king, I crowned a king over you. And now you've got the king. Wonderful. Misalech lefnechem, he's walking before you. V'anizo kanti vosavti, I'm now an old man. Chazal tell us that Shmuel was not an old man. 52. B'le'an ora. How many people in this room are younger than 52? One hand goes up. Baruch Hashem. When he says he's an old man, he's a kanti vosavti at 52. He lived relatively a short life. There were various things about Shmuel. One of them was that with the problems that Shaul had, Shmuel davened that he should die before Shaul. He did not want to outlive Shaul. So actually he didn't look that old. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that he would look specially old in order people would not think he's dying prematurely. They wouldn't know how old he was by looking at him. And that way, he looked like an old man, in which case, when he was Nifta, people would think, the old Shmuel has passed away. So, he said, Bonai hinom etchem, my sons are here to serve you as well there. My sons are shoftim, I made my sons into shoftim. They're big tamid chachomim. The only difference was between the sons and Shmuel. As I said, Shmuel was such a tzaddik, he didn't take a single penny of expenses. Not a penny. Whereas the sons of Shmuel did take expenses, and again, they administrated, they organized. Look, I'm going to be, this player going to be in Be'er Sheva next month. On the first 3 days of the month, I'll be in Be'er Sheva, I need somewhere to stay. Yeah, people who want me to judge them, in any case they've got, they'll have to come to me in Be'er Sheva, so anybody who's nearby will have to come along. Right, look, organise yourselves, I'll help you. But unlike Shmuel, who went from place to place to place to place and didn't take a penny, didn't put anybody out. So Shmuel was a gross tzaddik. Very great tzaddik. His children weren't such tzaddikim. Can you criticize them for it? The only answer to that is, when your father is a great tzaddik, then you can be criticized for not being as great as your father. If your father isn't such a great tzaddik, then Baruch Hashem, you might be even greater than your father. People are judged, and it's a fascinating yesod of how the Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world. Everybody is judged in relation to their own potential. It's not when a Beis Din takes a sentence on any crime, they punish for the crime alone. It doesn't matter who you are. It's a question of did he do the Avera, go through Shoftim, go through the Sanhedrin, go through all the Dinim. Did the person do the Avera? Did he not do the Avera? If he did it, we find him guilty. With the Eidos, was the Eidos, everything. You learn the Dinim. Yes, he's guilty. He pays up. How much does he pay? That's the amount. Simple. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a person, it is totally in relation to his own potential. Everybody is judged as to what's expected of them. You can't look at somebody else and say, well, he did exactly the same thing as I did. He did it worse than I did. How come I'm suffering and he isn't? Which the simple answer is, he has a different potential to you. Everybody's different. Pardon? That's it. That's it. Yep. Yep. That's the point. Everybody in relation to what is expected of them. Your father's a gross tzaddik means you've got to live up to something. Right. So therefore, now Shmuel challenges the people. Pasuk Gimel, he says in the Ni'anuvi, give evidence against me. Neged Hashem, neged Mashicho. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in front of his anointed king. So give evidence. Es mshor mi lokachti. Whose ox did I take? Chamor mi lokachti, whose donkey did I take? Mi oshakti, who did I rob? Smi ratzosi, whom did I oppress in any way? Different proportion, what this means, that I used all my own things, I didn't rent from anybody. Renting. What's wrong with renting? You pay the person. Ah, but if the shmuel comes up to somebody and wants to rent something from them, obviously the person would say yes. Come on, Shmuel, I'll not be asking you for something, and he'll pay you for it. Of course you say yes, but maybe you needed it yourself. Who would have the chutzpah to say to Shmuel, I'm very sorry, I can't rent it out to you, I need it myself. You wouldn't say such a thing. So Shmuel himself says, I never rented anything from anyone. Nobody would have had any kind of, unfair persuasion, or they would have felt, what could I do? How could I refuse? So Shmuel said, I never asked anybody for anything. Who gave me, so the pasuk as Milo Kamad, Milo Kachti Chofer, the Alim Einaibo, who could say that I took a bribe from him in any way, that I would hide my eyes? Well, that's a bit strange, that. The idea of taking a bribe is so terrible. To take bribes? What do you mean? Can he go to the judge beforehand and gives him some money and says, look, I've got a court case coming up today. Do me a favour. Go and take a tea break during the case. I'll get somebody else. Anything. Come on. Shmuel Anovi says that. So one of them, unfortunately, the Rav Yosef Kimchi, the father of the Radak, explains this idea that Shmuel is saying, not that I took a bribe from anybody, I should hide my eyes from him. What does that mean? Is that I both talking about today. I am challenging the whole of Klal Yisrael standing here today. If there's anybody here who's got the slightest complaint that any way I have done something as the leader of Klal Yisrael, I've been the leader of Klal Yisrael since Eli was Nifta, that was over 10 years ago. So in those 10 years, Shmuel says to the people, you're all here, I will close my eyes, I won't even look at you. So if you've got any complaints, please make those complaints. Don't be afraid. Anybody here going to complain about me? I'm staring at you, you're not going to complain about me in front of me. So I'll turn the other way. I'll cover my eyes so that I can't see anyone. So if anybody's got any complaint, you can complain in public in front of everyone and I won't even see you. That's Alim Einaibo. So that's what I'm challenging you to do. The Rabbi Yosef Kimchi says, I'm challenging you. I'm not afraid, Shmuel says. If you've got any complaints about the way I've been the leader, then please say so. Oshiv lochem, if you've got any complaints that I've taken any money, I'll give it back. And if you've got any complaints that I've done something wrong, Oshiv lochem, I will reply to you. I'll give you an answer. Nobody is going to be left with, hey, he complained about Shmuel and Shmuel changed the subject. No, Oshiv lochem, I will give you an answer, whatever you challenge me to do. Whatever you challenge that I have done wrong. So the people said, you haven't robbed us, you haven't oppressed us, we've taken nothing from us. So he said to them, Eid Hashem bochem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the aid against you. Ve'ed Mashiach Yomazeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king, Moshiach. Well, the word Moshiach is interesting, how many times we use the word Moshiach. Moshiach normally means anointed. The king here has been anointed, so the king is called Moshiach, because he was an anointed king. Normally, Kohen Moshiach, Eimin Kohen Moshiach, Shemin HaMishcha, Nimrova Begodim, Mishlin Megillah. Kohen Moshiach is the anointed king, the anointed Kohen, who is the Kohen Gadol. So Moshiach is the word for one who is anointed. So Shmuel says, Hashem and the king are both Edim, that you haven't found anything wrong with me. Vayomer, and he said, the people altogether said that aid. We will be, we're Edim. And there's a midrash that says the aid, that says Vayomer. It means Vayomeru, all of them. Either it's them as a group. There's a Kriach Siv. It's read as Vayomeru, but the word says Vayomer. And he said. So the midrash says the Baskol came down, and the Baskol was heard to say, the aid on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a witness that there's absolutely nothing that Shmuel HaNavi has done wrong to the people in the 10 years he has been the leader of Klal Yisrael. So, you see, if I'm about to tell you off, before I tell you off, the most decent thing I could do is to say, if you've got anything to tell me off, then I give you all a chance to, in front of everybody, to say what I've done wrong. Otherwise, there's no awful chutzpah. I'm going to tell all of you for what you've done, but wait a minute, what about me? Oh, no, I'm perfect. So Shmuel HaNavi is literally every single point that could be against him, he is facing the point straight out. Only when he's done what he was asked to do, he's done it successfully what he was asked to do, and now he's been asked, he's done it, he's done everything he had to do, he's challenged the people, can you find a single complaint, a single criticism, and all of them say no. Finally, he says, right, now I'm getting to the point. What you did was wrong. So, he tells them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe and Aaron, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought your fathers up from Mitzrayim. Right? He's been vindicated. He'll tell them what they've done wrong. What he's saying to start with is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done good for you, and we're going to see how you've done bad for him. The next pasuk says, Hisyatzvu, stand still everybody, I'll judge you. Ishoftu etchem, I will reason with you before Hashem for all the wonderful things he's done for you. Brought you out of Mitzrayim, Moshe and Aaron led you. They weren't kings either, but they were very good leaders. And they've given you all, they weren't kings. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the status of a king to do all the things that a king has got the power to do. And nor did Aaron have such power. Neither of them had the power. And yet they led you through the Midbar for 40 years. They went through Paro, they took you out. What are you complaining about? You need a king? It's so necessary? Your best leaders in history, Moshe and Aaron, weren't kings. And now, I'll tell you what happened. Kasher bo Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, and all the problems that happened in Mitzrayim, so what happened? Your fathers cried out to Hashem, so Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron, and they brought out everybody from Mitzrayim and brought them to Eretz Yisrael. That's it. So Moshe and Aaron were there to teach the people. And in the Zechus of the Torah they taught them, everybody went into Eretz Yisrael, those who were remaining after the 40 years in the Midbar. And then Vayishkechu es Hashem Elokeihem. The next thing happens, they forgot Hashem. And they forgot Hashem, Vayim Karos, and forgetting Hashem means they didn't keep the mitzvah they had to keep. So Vayim Karos on Yad Sisro, Melech Tzar Tzvo Chotzer, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed them over. That's Vayim Kar, Mechiro, he sold them to Sisro, that was the one that Devorah and Borok beat, that's in the Haftarah of Beshalach, and then hand over to the Pelishtim, and hand over to Melech Moav, and they had wars against all of them. Vayizaku el Hashem, they cried to Hashem, Vayimru Chatonu, they said they've sinned, Hiozavnu es Hashem, because we abandoned Hashem, when served Ba'olim, Baal, and Ashtoros. Ashtoros are idols shaped like sheep. But now, save us from our enemies, they said to Hashem, V'nav Deko, and then we will serve you. So, Vayishlach Hashem, es Yerubbaal. So now he says, Hashem sent. We've mentioned Moshe and Aaron already. Now I'm going to mention four more people. Yerubbaal was a name for Gidon. Badon, name for Shimshon, came from Don. Yiftach and Shmuel. Who's speaking? Shmuel is speaking. Shmuel says, not the OC and me, which sounds a little bit arrogant, to say Hashem sent these wonderful people and me. No, for Es Shmuel. Chazal say that Shmuel went into, when he was giving a nevuah, a Novi who's giving a nevuah goes into a trance where the nevuah comes through him and he speaks the words, and he might wake up afterwards, what did I say? So when he's speaking totally objectively. I'm telling you what's happened, yes? Without any sense of me. Who have you had speaking here this week? So-and-so on Sunday, so-and-so on Monday, me today. No, just give a list of names. I couldn't do it. Shmuel HaNovi could do it. When Shmuel HaNovi says Shmuel, what's he thinking? Nothing more than giving a list of names. Who are the leaders? So we've had six leaders so far. Chazal say three were incredibly great. Moshe, Aaron and Shmuel. From the Bekorah Eshemo, as we say on a Friday night, Tilim Tadites. And three who were leaders, but they were inferior to the others. Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach. Yes, they were great people, but they couldn't begin to compare to Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. And again, we say, Yiftach Bedoro, everybody Shmuel Bedoro. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu makes it. You get what you deserve. And your leader, I mean, is anybody going to say, Chas v'Shalom, anything derogatory about the Chofetz Chaim? But can you compare the Chofetz Chaim to the Vilna Gaon? Can you compare the Vilna Gaon to Rashi? Compare the Rashi to Rabbi Akiva? And yet, we've got leaders, all sorts of leaders. Every door gets the leader it needs. And nobody, Chas v'Shalom, has got the right, the greatest chutzpah, to criticize and say nowadays, you haven't got, we had, or they had, such a tremendous leader. If we had the Chofetz Chaim nowadays, if we had Rashi nowadays, we'd be different people. No, you can't do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every door what it needs. So therefore he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all the leaders that were necessary. And again, Moshe, Aaron, Gidon, Yiftach, Shimshon, Shmuel. Six leaders. Not a single one had the word Melech in front of his name or after his name. Don't find it. None of them were called Melech. You want a king? You're making a big fuss about having a king? Here are six brilliant leaders. And none of them were kings. None of them had the status of king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yatzel Eschem, Hashem saved you from your enemies, Vateishu Betach, and you had security. Vatiru, now you saw Ki Nochosh Melech Bnei Amon Mo'alechem. The Nochosh king of Bnei Amon was coming against you, and you said to me, no, we don't want you, we want a proper king. Vashem Elokeichem Malkechem, I'll tell you who your king is. The Rabbonu Shel Olam is your king. What are you worried about? All you've got to do is do teshuva, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way he wants to be served, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do exactly what you want a king to do. Why do you want a human king? And don't, not once did they say, oh, by the way, it's a mitzvah say doraisa to have a king. The answer is not yet. There's no immediate hurry. To conquer the land, to save yourself from your enemies, that's not where there's a mitzvah to have a king. The king's job is administration. The whole purpose of a king is to govern the land of Eretz Yisrael, to administrate that everybody keeps Torah mitzvahs properly. That's his job. His job primarily is not to go and fight the enemies. His job is to look after Klal Yisrael from within. So you made the wrong request. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. So, as I said, you did. You said something, you asked for something you shouldn't have asked for. Posuk Yud Gimel. So now what are we going to say next? In fact, the Abravanel says that the whole problem Nochosh came along was because they wanted a king. If they hadn't wanted a king, they wouldn't have the problem of Nochosh Melech Ammon. So, V'ator, Hinei HaMelech Asher Becharetem Asher Eltem. Here's the king, Shaul HaMelech, you wanted a king, here's the king. V'nei Nosen Hashem Aleichem Melech, Hashem has given you the king. So now where do we go from here? We want you to break down and say we did a terrible thing, please chuck Shaul out, Shmuel, you're the king. No, we're going to carry on where you are. Now you wanted it, you've got it. But it brings its own problems. Having a king, as you'll see, nobody sees for that long, but if we look in the next 400 years of kings in Klal Yisrael, well, we have when after Shlomo HaMelech died, you've got 20 kings of Yisrael and 20 kings of Yehuda, and the vast majority, all of the ones of Yisrael, were Ovdei Avodah Zorah, and the majority of the ones of Yehuda were Ovdei Avodah Zorah. Literally, you've got 40 kings, and the vast majority of them were kings who weren't fit to get to be called up in a normal minion. Ovdei Avodah Zorah. How far do you go with these people? Right? So therefore, Shmuel warns the people. We've entered a new era. We've got kings now. Im tira u'es Hashem. If you're going to fear Hashem, v'avad temoso u'shmatem b'kolo, and you serve him, you listen to what he says, v'lo samru'es pi Hashem, and you never go against, never rebel against what Hashem has said. So then the question is, what is the then? He said, if you do this, ve'yisem gam atem v'gam ha-melech Hashem olach aleichem achar Hashem elokeichem. You and the king who reigns over you will be after Hashem. Did I say what that then would be? If you fear Hashem and serve Hashem and don't go against any of his mitzvahs, then you and the king will be after Hashem. Well, that's what I just said. You're all going to do the right thing. You're all going to serve Hashem. He hasn't said what's going to happen. There's no, if you do this, I'll do this. Right? If you all do this, then this will come next. He hasn't said what's going to come next. So some of Farshim say that the second half of the pasuk, v'yisem, the very fact that there will be a public, if you, all of you people will serve Hashem and do what Hashem wants, then you and the king, then in other words, you will influence your king. Your king has his own Yetzer Hara. Anybody, once he's put into a position of authority, has a Yetzer Hara to abuse the authority. Lahavdil, look at all the Goysha authority people. Can you find how many good ones can you point out in thousands of years of history of any Goysha secular authority who could be seen, what a tzaddik that person was. And how many times will you say, corrupt, 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 corrupt? In other words, to have a good king, he's got his own Yetzer Hara. So there's only one way you will have the reward of having a good king. And that is if you are good people. If your king will be what you deserve. If you keep Torah and mitzvah so well, then you will show the Rabbeinu Shalom that you deserve to have a good king, in which case HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away the Yetzer Hara of abusing authority from your king, and he'll be a tzaddik gomor. In other words, that will be the reward you'll have. But it's got to come from you. Don't think that your king is going to influence you automatically to be great tzaddikim. No, you've got to be great tzaddikim first. Then you'll have a wonderful king. If you then got a wonderful king, then you'll continue and we'll have a system that will work, because each of you will push the other one up. Your Avodas Hashem will push up the king, and then he will push you up. That's one pshat there. There was another pshat I saw. I can find this here. Yep. That Rashi says that your king, it says, your king and you and your king will be serve Hashem. Rashi says that means the king will have Orech Yomim. In other words, he will live for a long time. He'll have the zechus. Because you keep Torah and mitzvos, that's what your king will be. Will be a man who will live for many, many years, rather than have a brief reign, in which case there'll be a whole problem when he dies. Are we going to have his son? Who's going to take over from him? Is the son going to be as good as the father? You're starting all over again with the same problem. So in other words, stability is you've got a good king, he stays a good king, and Baruch Hashem, years and years go on without a problem. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. But the next pasuk, Lo Tishma'u, if you don't listen, Risa Mefi Hashem, and you rebel against Hashem, then Hashem will be against you and against your fathers. Mefarshim say, what do you mean against your fathers? Where are your fathers at the moment? They're down below. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send such problems that they'll dig up the graves. Literally, the graves of your fathers will be disinterred out of punishment for you, what you're doing wrong, and your parents will be disgraced after they left the world as well. So, now come and stand and see this great thing, what Hashem's going to do. You're going to see something. I'm going to show you a nace. Halok tzichetim ayom. This pasuk here is quoted in the seventh Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the first Perek of Tarnis. Yeah, when they haven't had rain, they've davened for rain, haven't had rain, then they carry on fasting till the end of Nisan, but not beyond then. Because even though they haven't had any rain the whole of the winter, to have rain in the summer in Eretz Yisrael is bad. Halok tzichetim hayom. It's a wheat harvest. To have rain during the wheat harvest is not a good thing. However bad the wheat harvest is, you need to have it dry. If it's going to rain after that, it's very bad. So Shmuel says to the people, I'm going to call out to Hashem, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you that I'll call to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you kolos u'mota, you have thunder, you're going to have rain, and you'll know you've done something wrong. Fascinating. How many different ways can you think of a nace that will show people they've done something wrong? How many destructive ways can you show people they've done something wrong? I'm going to give you the most beautiful, biggest bracha of all, rain. How much effort do we make to have rain in Eretz Yisrael? How much need is there for rain in Eretz Yisrael? It's the biggest bracha. But a bracha at the wrong time, heis nishkan bracha. It's not a bracha if it's at the wrong time. It can be the biggest bracha at the right time. But getting it at the wrong time, it's not a bracha. And that's what he's telling the people. Yes, to have a king at the right time to ask for a king when you're meant to have a king, that is a grosser bracha. But to ask at the wrong time, it's a wonderful thing, but you've asked at the wrong time. He's a very good man, it's still wrong. That's what you've done wrong. So, Shmuel called to Hashem, and Hashem gave them thunder, everything, rain, and the people was terrified. Terrified of Hashem and terrified of the power Shmuel had. And they felt they defended him. They realized it now. So they said to him, down for us. We did the wrong thing. Please, Hashem shouldn't kill us. We've done the wrong thing. All our extra avirus, we asked for a king. And Shmuel said to the people, don't worry. Now you've done teshuvah, don't worry. You've done what was bad, but nevertheless, continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you'll be okay. You and your king will be all right. Don't turn away after things that are wrong. But the pasuk, the Haftorah ends with a famous pasuk, which we say in davening, Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never abandon his people, b'avur shma agodol, because of his great name. Ki ho'il Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu ho'il. Either ho'il means he wanted, v'yol Moshe lo shevet es o'ish. And Moshe wanted, agreed to stay with Yisrael, or Hoel is to make a Shavua. Ki Hoel Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has made you swear, La'asos eschem lo la'om, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep you as his people, don't worry. Yes, you've done the wrong thing. Yes, we've gone on a slightly different path. You've got to go down this path. You've gone slightly off course. You're going down another path. But the other path is leading in the same direction. So we've changed paths, but you can still go on the new one. Don't go crazy on the new path. You'll serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything will be wonderful in Yetzirah. Amen.